Welcome to Good News Church. Let's pray before we get into what the Lord has for us. Father, we are so grateful tonight that we know you, and we're grateful for each other tonight, that we have a church family, people you've brought into our lives who strengthen us and encourage us, people that you've brought to us, Father, that they're fellow laborers together, not just with you, but with us, and we thank you tonight for them. Father, we look to you tonight to speak to us from the Word, to speak to us by the Holy Spirit. We are dependent on the Holy Spirit who indwells each of us, the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the counselor. We ask you to counsel us tonight. Some of us need great counsel tonight about things that may have nothing to do with what verses I'll read. But Father, you, by the Holy Spirit, will counsel us tonight. Even in these next few minutes, you'll speak to us by your Spirit. We are utterly dependent upon you to speak to us, upon you to inspire us, upon you to teach us tonight. And we're looking to you to do that. Father, tonight, as we approach the Word, we have reverence for it. We have honor for it. We look at it, Father, with fresh eyes. We listen to it with fresh ears. And we ask you to reveal to us yourself tonight through the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, tonight I'm going to read a passage here from 1 Peter. And I don't know, how many of you, 1 Peter is your favorite book in the Bible? Maybe not any of you. You know, it's maybe not necessarily the most popular book among Christians. You know, if we were going through and talk about some of the verses we like or chapters we like or books that we like, it might not be one. But I read not long ago that 1 Peter is actually a highly revered and very cherished book by a certain group of people. There's a certain group of people that 1 Peter is their book. And it's the book that they are, you know, that's their favorite and the thing they read the most. Eddie's giving me the weird look like, what are you talking about? It is. But when I say it and I read these scriptures, it'll make sense. But for the persecuted church, Christians who live under attack for their faith, people whose very lives are threatened, we think we're persecuted because we can't say Merry Christmas, you know, at work or something. You're silly if you think that's real persecution, because there's real persecution, people who give their lives, people who are violently abused, people who are tortured for their faith. And among those group of people, particularly, 1 Peter is for them the book. And you'll see, I think, as we begin to read, and you're thinking, what kind of message is this going to be? Hopefully, it won't be about that. But let's just begin reading in chapter 1 and verse 3. We'll read several verses. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love." Boy, he just loved to just keep writing, didn't he? Looking for a period so I can breathe. Excuse me. "Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." You can see why these verses and others that can follow after these, why this would be a lifeline for people that are being persecuted. Because he's talking here and Peter's writing, because first of all, Peter knew a little bit about persecution, I want to remind you. He was a man who was well acquainted with it. And history says that Peter himself was martyred for the sake of the gospel, that he was crucified. And when they went to crucify him, he said, "I'm not worthy to be killed in the same manner that my Lord was." And so they crucified him upside down on a cross. So whereas Jesus was crucified this way, they flipped him upside down and crucified him that way. So he died the same brutal death that Jesus died. But that wasn't the first day he suffered for the sake of the gospel. So you can see how these verses and others that he wrote here and just his life in general would be an inspiration to people who are being persecuted for their faith. Now, even though you and me haven't been whipped or tortured today, none of us have been thrown in prison for confessing Jesus as Lord. None of us have you know, in other nations when people are, in certain places when people are water baptized. You know, we have water baptism services and we call it going public. In certain places on earth, your water baptism pretty much seals your fate. You're going to, from that point forward, be an outcast in society, and you may be imprisoned and you may be put to death for being baptized in the name of Jesus. Imagine. Again, this is not my message. But let this encourage you tonight. Maybe you came in here sort of down. You know, midweek boost, we always try to boost you up. Sometimes it just helps to get a proper perspective of what's really going on. You think you're suffering, but I want to tell you, you are not suffering tonight. You think that you're really having it rough, that things are really going hard. Maybe compared to how things usually are for you or how you expect things to be, it does seem tough. But I'm going to tell you tonight, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. If you've had any food to eat today, you are blessed. You are blessed. And so thank God for the blessings that we have. Sometimes the best thing we can do is just stop for a moment and get a hold of ourselves and realize, you know, there at different times in our lives when Matt and I have been going in a situation or things have been happening, or, you know, it seemed like defeat was certain. You ever been there? It seemed like defeat was certain. And there we were in that situation. And many times I've looked at him and said, but you ate today, didn't you? But you have some clothes on. There's still a roof up, you know, above us. There may be a leak in it, but there's still a roof there. Things are good. Isn't that right? I mean, things are good. So, you know, that's always a good thing to remember in your life, is put things in perspective, for, you know, especially when you're just going on and on about something that doesn't matter at all. The things, the trivial things we get so caught up in and overwrought about. My goodness. But let's go back up here to the first part of these verses, and we'll start in verse 3. I just want to read this little part again. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We're going to talk tonight about living hope. I want to talk to you about hope. I've just had hope on my heart now for a few days, and this idea of a living hope is very interesting to me. The Bible talks about living water, and I'm going to tell you, I was an adult before I ever even knew what that phrase meant, living water. It doesn't mean the water itself is alive. You know what I'm saying? Living water is water that's moving, that is active, that there's a force in it, that there's power in it. Now, we have a creek that runs through our property. It comes in across the back, runs that way across the property, and then it comes and runs the length of the property. And several years ago, somewhere upstream, somebody did some work, and it caused a whole lot more water to come into our creek. So now our flow is much higher and much more brisk. Well, it used to be there would be times where even though there was water flowing through the creek, there would seem to be no action. I mean, if you drop something in it, here it may move down a little bit, or it may, you know, it just kind of might meander along. But nowadays, that's not how it is. Now that water is alive. It's moving. And particularly, you get any rain going, we get a lot of action happening. And in fact, last summer, back I think the first part of June, the first few days of June, we had a big flood. Y'all remember, we've had so many natural semi-disasters, little disasters, it seems like, in the last year. But when that flood, for whatever reason, I don't know exactly why so much water ended up in our creek. We never had this before. But it flooded our creek, up the banks, into the whole part of the yard where the creek is. All that was flooded. It came up onto our driveway, way up into the yard, up to the sidewalk. In fact, our driveway, there were like waves rolling down our driveway. I've never seen anything like it, and I sure never want to see anything like it again. And in that, I mean, we had whole trees that fell over because the root systems were just washed out. My goodness. But that water was very alive that day. There was a great force in it. There was a great, you know, movement going on. Well, when we talk about our hope being alive, we're talking about hope that has a force to it, a hope that that's moving, and that there's power in it. And, you know, hope that has life in it and that can give life to something. I think about that creek now that we have water, a lot more water flowing through our creek. There's a lot more opportunity there to do something with that water, and that water is going somewhere and bringing life to the soil around it. But our hope should be living that way. There, our hope within us should be a force that's bringing life to us, and it should be causing us in our lives. It should be bringing something forth in our lives. It should be sustaining us. There should be a sustaining force in our lives. We just sang a song about an anchor being holding. The Bible talks about hope in our lives being like an anchor, anchoring us. We should be holding onto something. Now, all of us go through tough times. Am I the only one that's ever been through a tough time? All of us go through tough times. And if you haven't been through a tough time, and you're going to stay on planet Earth, I'm just going to tell you tough times are going to come, because Jesus promised us that. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. There's going to be tough times. And one reason we have tough times is because we're living in a fallen world. And man, oh man, we still see the results of the fall all around us. And another reason that life can be tumultuous and we can have problems is because we live with people. We live among people. And you have problems with people. And those probably are the worst problems you have, or the problems you have with people. And then there are other things that happen. One thing is the bodies that we live in, they don't live forever. These bodies wear out. And eventually they, you know, quit functioning. They shut down. And we call that death. When these bodies shut down, these bodies die. And so at one point or another, if you've experienced it or not, someone that you love, their body's going to shut down, and you're going to be, you know, have to dispose of it, and they're going to depart. And boy, that can make life tough, especially if they were a really important person in your life, someone you valued greatly. That can be tough. If you haven't experienced the death of someone close to you, you know, yet, just keep living, and eventually you will. That's normal. That's a part of life. And so that's something that we have to know how to be sustained through. We have to get through these things. We have to get through tough times. We have to get through problems with people. We have to get through death and go ahead and live and maintain life and continue to have a living hope. Amen. Good night. No, and we... That's it. Now, sometimes when we come in here on Wednesday nights, we call it Midweek Boost. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost like I have to give you a spiritual IV, that you're just about dead, and I got to hook you up to a spiritual IV and try to pump some life into you. That's sometimes the messages that the Lord gives me. Other times it's maybe a generally encouraging message, but sometimes I have messages that are, to me, messages that will help you in the future. They may not be really relevant to you today, but in the future, they will be relevant. And I feel like this is one of those messages that it may or may not really be, you know, where you are tonight, but it's something that in the weeks, months, maybe years to come, you'll pull it off the shelf and you'll say, wait a minute here, I remember that. I remember some of the things that Pastor Susie was talking about, because it may or may not be really super relevant to you tonight. But you and me have within us a living hope. There's a hope. Now, we hear a lot. You remember how the Bible says, now by these, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So we talk about love. We sing about love. We all love love, don't we? We love to talk about God's love for us, and wow. And then we know a lot about faith, and we talk about faith, and we preach about faith, and we teach about faith, and we're even having a trust challenge, which is really about faith. And Eddie did a lesson for those of that come to the Trust Challenge initiatives on Sunday night. He did a great lesson with an object lesson. I was going to say it was an obstacle lesson about getting out of the boat. And Eddie put his rump up in the air, and we saw things we didn't need to see, and all kind of stuff happened in here the other night. Thank God there was no video of that. No video. Was there? There wasn't a video. No video. Thank God, because I'm not doing anything, just so you know. just like to be clear about what I'm not doing. Anyway, but I don't even know. We've heard a lot about faith, but hope we don't hear as much about. And I think sometimes we just assume that we have hope. But I'm going to tell you, The world is in such need of hope. You and me and a lot of people like us are in need of hope. And when you get discouraged, one of the things in discouragement is you are so tempted to let go of your hope. You know, Matt talks about it's time. How many times have you heard him say this? It's time for you to get out your yellow legal pad and get your pen or pencil and start dreaming again. Have you ever heard him say that? Yeah. And so you think you've heard it. And so my house, he gets it and brings it to me and says, sit down. So I'm like, oh, no. Oh, but anyway, praise the Lord. Thank God. So anyway. But what he's saying to you at a time like that, when he's saying start dreaming again, he's saying get your hopes up. That's really what he's saying, is we need to get our hopes up about some things. It's easy to let go of our hopes. It's easy to get discouraged and to just, you know, try to make it. I saw a survey not long ago that, and I don't even believe this. This could not be possible. But I saw a survey the other day, and it questioned people about their hopes and their dreams, and it was trying to ascertain what is it that most people are hoping for. And when they ended up summarizing the survey, what they determined was that 93% of the people, their hope is just to survive, just to make it. And that's nowhere near the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. And it's nowhere near what even these verses are talking about. A living hope is a lot more than I hope I can make it to tomorrow. We have a lot more to hope for. And so I want to tell you that you have within you a living hope. We have a hope in Christ. And sometimes it's easy for people like me and a lot of you to take it for granted, because we've lived with this hope for a long time and we don't know or don't remember what it's like to be without hope. Because the Bible says that when you're without Christ, you are without hope. And see, I don't know a whole lot about being without hope, but a lot of people don't have hope. And a lot of believers, even though they have Christ, they don't recognize that they have hope. We have a great hope. Now, let's just do a little digging around in this verse, these little verses here. And let's talk about here, where is this hope that's within us? Where is that living hope? Where's it going to come from? Let me just say it like this. Where does it spring forth from in our lives? Well, I think this verse really tells us. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy. And that's the first reason tonight that you and I have hope. That's the first place where we get hope from, is from recognizing that our God has an abundance of mercy for us. Now, this past Sunday and the last two Sundays, Matt's been talking about the grace of God. Y'all remember, those of you who were here Sunday, he started off talking about sin. And he warned us at the beginning, you're not going to like this. But then the last part of the message was redeeming. The last part of the message was how grace overcomes that, and how there's grace for your sin and grace for wherever you miss it, whatever's happened, there's grace for you. Well, God is a God of abundant mercy. He has abundant mercy. I'm so thankful. And what that abundant mercy means is that tomorrow can be better. Whatever's happened, whatever's going on today, tomorrow can be better. And we never get to the end of tomorrow can be better. And it really, to me, this abundant mercy is really portrayed in what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. There's so much hope in being a new creation. Old things have passed away. Boy, there's hope right there. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. Boy, there's a lot of hope right there. All things have become new. There's a lot of hope, because we all have things that have happened that have discouraged us. We've all had things that have happened where we've fallen short, where we failed, where things didn't work out the way that they thought, that we thought we should. You know, it's interesting. One of my sons told me the other day, he's been working with a guy who really has no faith. If he had the faith of his family, he would be a Muslim, but they haven't been practicing Muslims. But he's from another country. He's living here, just coming to school in this country. Anyway, And so, but this, he's raised in a foreign land and doesn't know anything about Christianity. He's been very curious about Christianity and asking my son's questions. And so it was so interesting because just last week, I think it was Thursday or Friday, he said to one of my sons, he said, "Man, I just wish I could have a fresh start." Now, this is like a 17 or 18-year-old kid. And he just from his heart is saying, "I just wish I could start life over." Well, if you're thinking that at 17 or 18, what are people thinking when they're 40? What are they thinking when they're, you know, if you're longing for a fresh start when you're 17 or 18? But you know what? Here is the great goodness of God in manifestation. You can start over again. You can. You can have a fresh start. Jesus said you must be born again. There's no starting over like starting over as a new creation. But even if you are a new creation already, you can still start over again. You can start afresh today. You can, what Pastor Matt calls, you can draw that line on the scorecard. When he's playing golf and he's having a bad round, he's hitting some errant shots, he'll get to a point and he'll say, "This is it, I'm starting my round afresh," and he draws a big thick line and says, "From here on, we're on a new round. It's a new day." Well, if he can do that in a round of golf, how much more can God, by his great power, cause us and enable us to start afresh, start anew? And many of us have done it. Many of us have started afresh and anew. I can tell you, I'm looking at people that I know, you've started a whole new life. Some of you have started a whole new life a couple of times. But you can start a whole new life. Matt and I came to the point where we started a whole new marriage. We've started a whole new family. We still got the same kids and the same husband and wife. But we said, we're gonna do things differently. We're going to live in a different way. We're going to be different. We're going to have different relationships. So we haven't just, I mean, we've been married for 27 years almost, but we've had at least two marriages in that 27 years, haven't we? And this one's a lot better than the other one. We should get another one. Let's reinvent our marriage. At Matt's 50th birthday party several years ago, whenever it was, year before last, they wrote a song. Several years ago, it was a year, well, his 50th, he's, anyway, I thought something happened. Year before, anyway, November of 2012 was his 50th birthday. And at his birthday party, they wrote a birthday song, and the birthday song had in it about, "Don't reinvent yourself again, we like this version just fine," because Matt is known for talking about how he's going to reinvent himself. So I think Nate wrote this line about this version is just fine. Don't try to reinvent yourself again. But he's really got a hold of that whole thing. If I don't like what's going on, I'm just going to start over again. Matt's all about that. Let's get out the legal pad and we'll start afresh. So I'm just telling all of you tonight, our God has abundant mercy and you can start over. Amen. If you want to start over tonight, just start over. Start afresh, start anew, just start over. You know, I was in a service many years ago, and the minister was up and was talking about some things and got over into talking about sexual sin. And before the service was over, gave a call that anybody who wanted to start afresh and anew as a virgin to come up front. Now, that was kind of a revolutionary idea. But people that had gotten into, you know, immoral sexual relationships, and if you want to just start afresh and anew and rededicate yourself wholly unto God and renew your virginity in the Lord, you know, just come up here. And they prayed for him, and I was going, wow, that was awesome. People were getting free. No, Baptist church, no, it was a holy rolling church, but. But it was awesome. They were renewing. You know, you can start over. wherever you are, whatever's going on. And sometimes we need to start afresh, just like I said, in a relationship with someone, whatever it is. Let's start afresh here. Start anew. That's good. How do we have a living hope? Because anytime we need to, we can start afresh and anew, and things can be better. Things can be better. I'm so grateful. Now let's go on and read some more. That was good. All right. We had a good moment. All right. He has, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now there's the next reason that hope can be alive in you tonight. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I think all the time about the fact that death, I'm talking about physical death, death is just another step for me. It's another step for us. It's just another step. It's just something we step through. Now here, this may sound strange what I'm about to tell you, but this is reality. You are as dead right now as you are ever going to be. You are as dead right now as you're ever going to be. Because see, what happens at the point of death for a believer is you step out of this body. And this body is really your only connection to the death in this world. And when you step out of this body, the part of you that is alive unto God goes. And you go right into life itself. You go into God's presence. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is no death in His presence. And you step out of this and you leave all the death you are ever going to know. You leave it behind. And it just lays there. And somebody's got to clean it up. Put it away. Somebody's got to put, you can't even put it away for yourself. Somebody's got to put it away. It's dead. And that's the only death, you know, that you're going to have anything to do with is the death you have right now, your body. Because when you leave your body, even though we call it death, it's really, boy, life. That's the reality. You're stepping into life. Oh, life, life, life. You're really stepping out of death into life. That's the truth. Now, let's, if you will, you can hold your place in 1 Peter. I want to flip over. I want to read this from 1 Thessalonians. These verses we normally hear or read at funerals. But I'm going to tell you, death is a part of life, and we all need to be prepared for it. Kaylee's grandmother went home to be with the Lord just Saturday. I didn't even think about this. What, today? Today was the funeral. So Kaylee's sitting here, someone she loves, someone she knows, someone who's been in her life all her life, has just departed. And all of us, whether, you know, I said, whether we've had someone close to us go on or not, we will eventually, if we haven't. And we need to know how to think about death in a better way, in a godly way. And so here in 1 Thessalonians, verse 13 of chapter 4, Paul, it's interesting what Paul writes. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. And evidently there was a lot of ignorance. And I'm going to tell you, there's still a whole lot of ignorance about death, about believers dying. It says, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now look at that. He said, lest you sorrow as others who have what? No hope. We don't have no hope. We have living hope. But others, those who are without Christ, they have no hope. So when we were born again, we went from no hope to living hope. We went from no hope to all hope, the big hope, great hope, alive hope. So there was ignorance, but we don't need to sorrow the way that people who have no hope would. And there's a way in this world. Before you were saved, before you came to Christ, this was your destiny. Matt talked about it on Sunday. Evidently, you inspired me Sunday. Keep referencing your message. What happens is you are living this life, and the reality is for a person who is not saved, the most alive they'll ever be is right here. This is the most alive they'll ever be. Because at what we call death, when they step into death, they are stepping into eternal death. Remember Matt talking about hell and worms and stuff on fire on Sunday wasn't good. So that's where they're stepping into. That's where every person who doesn't know Christ, that's where they're going. It's what's happening. They're stepping into death. And so there is great sorrow. If someone steps out of this life into eternal death, there would be a reason to have great sorrow. Heartbreaking, unbearable sorrow in many ways. Okay, so you have that. And then, but I do want to say in all of that, keep hope alive. As Jesse Jackson always says, keep hope alive, keep hope alive, keep hope alive. You know why? Because you don't know everything there is to know. And you don't know what's really in the heart of people. And you don't know what people, you know, God is. We just read about it. He has abundant mercy. And so don't be saying, well, I know they didn't go to heaven. How do you know? You weren't there when they uttered all their breaths. You didn't live in their heart. You don't know what was going on between them and the Lord. So just shut up with all that and just keep hope alive. Right? Okay. And so so this is how it is. There's a reason for sorrow when a person who is spiritually dead, who's not been born again, when they die, there's a reason for sorrow. And there's a reason for someone who doesn't know God to have sorrow because they're afraid of death. And the Bible says in Hebrews that it's through the fear of death that mankind has been held in bondage, that people are in bondage because of the fear of death. It's an unknown. It's something even the natural body resists death. It's something we hate. We don't like it. That's one reason we don't like to age and we resist aging and we value youth is because of the fear of death. We're getting closer to death and we can't stop it. And it just is it terrorizes people, but not us because we have a living hope. See, there's a big difference. So now when your loved one passes, particularly if you know for sure they're saved, but even if you don't, keep hope alive, you don't have to sorrow. You don't have to sorrow. When you, and even thinking about your own death, because we're all going one way or another. There's no reason for us to be afraid or no reason to have sorrow. But he said here, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You and me have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so it's talking about the resurrection, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, the Lord's coming again. If you read the back of the book, he says, I'm coming. And then they say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Okay, he's coming again. Did y'all know the Lord's coming again? He's coming again. And it says here, those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, those whose physical bodies have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So those that their bodies are in the grave, that have gone on to be with the Lord, their bodies are still in the grave. Their bodies that are in the grave or in the ground, or they may have just blown away in the wind. Whatever happened to them, those bodies are going to be in an instant resurrected into a glorified body. And he goes on to say, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is where the idea of the rapture, even the word rapture is not in the Bible. This catching away is where the word rapture comes from, that we'll be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, now here's the best part. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Woo! Isn't that awesome? We're going to always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Here's what, because of the resurrection, here's what is going to happen. You and me, whether we are of those that bodies come up out of the grave first or we're the ones who are still alive and remain here, either way, we are going to be caught up together with Jesus. Now, the ones that are already in heaven are going to come back and get their bodies. So, but we're going to all be together, and we're going to go and always be with him. So no matter what happens in the, you know, ages to come, the eternities to come, I don't know what's going to happen. We had this deep conversation at our house the other day. My kids were home for the weekend, which is dangerous if you get all the Judds together and their mates. Things get a little, you know, like really deep quick. And here we were, and so one of them pipes up and says, you know, I can't really think about heaven because it just really bothers me because I want to know what we're going to be doing. And the idea of, you know, that we're going to spend eternity, the longer I think about eternity and all that's going on with eternity, and it just like blows my mind. And so I had to stop thinking about that and come back over into today, which makes sense. You could drive yourself mad that way. But in talking about that, I don't know what's going to be happening for the ages to come. And let me tell you, neither do you. But I do know this. We're going to always be with the Lord. I don't know what we're going to be doing, but we're going to always be with the Lord. We're going to always be with him. So if it's now or, you know, eternity beyond eternities, we're going to always be with him. Now, here's something else that really comforts me. Not only am I always going to be with him, but because you're always going to be with him and I'm always going to be with him, I'm always going to be with you. That's really bad news for you, Jose. I'm always going to be with you, Jose. Think about it. We're always going to be with each other. The very best thing about heaven is that all the people you love are all going to be together forever with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? There's some motivation for being a life giver. Because we're always going to be with him and we're going to always be with each other. Isn't that wonderful? Now there is hope. There's hope. Now, see, it helps whenever you're sitting on the front row looking at a casket where your loved one is in that casket. It helps at a time like that because there's deep sorrow. I understand. It's painful. But you know what? There's another side to it. You just hit the pause button. Because in a short while, it seems like forever right now. It may be years and years in Earth's years. But in eternity, it's not even a blink. We're going to all be together forever. And this little short time we're separated, we will hardly remember. We're going to always be together forever. And that right there is great comfort in that. Because you think of all the things that you don't have together now. There's, you know, I know your dad's gone on to be with the Lord. And you think, well, he's not seeing the little ones and seeing them grow up. And he won't be there when Sebastian graduates. You know, and all these things can mess with your mind. But I'm going to tell you, in the ages to come, he's going to be there. And there's going to be a whole lot better things than Sebastian graduating or the little ones growing up. It's going to be a whole lot better. So any of those things that he's missing, there's going to be great, great things that totally swallow that up. And there's hope in that. There's hope in that. That hope should be alive in you tonight. And that's where your focus and attention should be. Anytime your loved ones have gone on to be with the Lord, anytime a dear friend has departed, whatever's happened, there's hope right there. And that will keep you from the sorrow that the world, see, the world doesn't have that. Because they don't have that. If you're without, they don't have that. And so their sorrow is different than what we would have. We have sorrow because we miss a person. But yet, you know, any of y'all ever gone on a big trip? I know y'all went to Peru, was it last summer, your family? You plan a trip and you're super excited about it. Y'all remember when you went on your anniversary cruise? You're really excited about it. Any of y'all ever done that? You had something you were going to do, a vacation or some time off, something you were going to do. Remember when y'all went to Italy? You're looking forward to that. People are getting ideas what they can do now. You're looking forward to something you're going to do. And you're just thinking about, man. And it's like you have 25 days from now to then. And there's so much work to be done. And, so, you know, you got to, maybe you have to work every day from now to then in order to make it work so you can be gone. But you get through it because you know when the time comes, you're going to get to go. Or maybe to graduation. You remember working towards graduation. Some people, you know, if I can just get finished here. One of Maddie's friends, she just just took her last in law school, her last exam, and so she's done with it. And it was just like jubilation. Think of that. Look at, well, now that is exactly where a lot of us are. We're in those working through the days, getting through it, but that day is coming. I don't know exactly what day it is when we're going to be reunited. I don't know the time, but we're headed for that, and I'm looking forward to it. I know you're looking forward to it. You're looking forward to being with the ones you love. You'll be reunited. And here's the thing. When you get to them, they're going to be better than they ever were here, and so are you. And when you get with them, you don't ever have to leave. You're going to be with them, and everything that concerns you or worries you or would cause you to fret or to be anxious right now is swallowed up and gone forever. This is reality, people. I'm not telling you this at a funeral just trying to comfort you. I'm telling you tonight because it's real. This is the Bible. The same Bible that says all those other promises, all those other things that we get so excited about. This is reality. This is what it means to live in Christ, to die in Christ. And this is why we have great hope, y'all. And while everything isn't, and you know, your feelings, you still have feelings. You, in the middle of feelings, you have a living hope because of the resurrection. And frankly, we can all, in some ways, look forward to death. That doesn't mean you should be looking forward to it like right now, people. But when the time comes, when you've finished and you've done your work, my dad used to tell us, when you get your work done, you can go home. Because we work for him. When you get your work done, you can go home. And so when you get your work done here, you can go home. And it's going to be a great day for you. All right, so let's go on. We just got a few minutes before we finish up. He said to comfort one another with those words, so we should. Now let's go back over to First Peter. So we talked about the resurrection. So far, two reasons why we have a living hope. First, there's abundant mercy. Second is the resurrection. Here's the third one. Two, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Woo! Isn't that awesome? I love that. There is an inheritance that has my name on it, that has your name on it. It's undefiled. It's incorruptible. Nobody can mess with it. Now, several years ago when the stock market crashed, there were people that lost their whole retirement funds. I know people that lost. They were wiped out. When the real estate, you know, bubble burst, there were people who were heavily invested in properties, and they were caught in a mess. And what they thought was great wealth went to just nothing in a few days. My inheritance is not like that. There's no, you know, trouble in the market. There's no announcement going to be made tomorrow on CNN. There's nothing that's going to come up that's going to taint or ruin or corrupt or cause my inheritance to fail. It's in heaven. God is in charge of it. And he is love, and love never fails. So there's no chance of my inheritance failing. It's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. And I think about whenever I read this, does not fade away, I think about whenever you have money in accounts and they keep taking fees out of it. And y'all ever had that? Even when you have money invested somewhere with a broker, they keep taking their, you know, whether you go up or down, they're taking their money. There's no fees. He's dwindling away your money with the fees. It's not like the gift card that you get, that it's good for 6 months or a year, but then it, you know, every month it goes down by $2. You ever had that gift card that you lost and you found it and you called up and it's only worth $3? It used to be worth, you know, 50, but it's only worth $3 because every month they take. It's not like that. None of that. It's your inheritance. Let me tell you something else. There's nobody who can cheat you out of your inheritance. See, earthly inheritances, you can be cheated out of. Well, I could tell you stories right there. Maybe you could tell me stories. But there's nobody vying for it because you know what? Every one of us have an inheritance. And every one of us, our inheritance is more than we could ask or think, hope or dream or pray. So we can all actually rejoice with each other and we don't have to be envious. We don't have to try to get each other's. Isn't that wonderful? No wonder we can have a living hope. We have a living hope because we have this inheritance. Now, the wonderful thing about our inheritance is the inheritance comes to us not because we die, but because He died. And He already died. So that inheritance that's laid up and stored up for us is available to us right now. It doesn't just mean when we get to heaven. Sure, there's great stuff when we get to heaven, but the Bible talks about that right now we have access to our heavenly accounts, to the storehouses of heaven are open to us even now. So we live in a world that's so shaky, a world that's just being tossed about. You could walk in like Ben did, don't even have to walk in. You can just get a phone call right on spring break and they tell you, guess what? We're shutting down. Goodbye. The job that you had, goodbye. Not because Ben wasn't a good employee, not because he didn't do a good job, not because of his failure, it was because of their deal. Now, how's that right? But that's the world we live in. But Ben, I got great news. Just so happens that a settlement has come down. A huge estate was settled. And you were named as an heir to this huge estate. And it's already been through probate. And there's already been an account established in your name. Benjamin Dupree got your name on it. And there's all the fees have been deducted. There's no more. In fact, from this point forward, it just gains interest. It's not corruptible. And it's yours and it's available to you right now. Isn't that awesome? Whatever we would need. And our inheritance goes far beyond financial, even though it does include a financial provision. But it goes far beyond that. It's all of God's resources. We have that inheritance. And, it's good. Whatever happens in this world, my inheritance is not subject to this world. My treasure is in heaven, and God is our provider. All right, and then the last part of it, got 3 minutes. The last part of this, reserved in heaven, okay, and then the last part, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The last reason tonight, the last place we can point to that hope, living hope, would spring forth in our lives is from His power to keep us. His power keeps us. I'm so thankful that His power keeps us. We know very little about His keeping power, really. You know, one reason that we don't have and express gratitude the way that we should, because the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, and sometimes we look around and say, I don't have a lot to rejoice over. Well, you don't know how He's kept you. If you knew the full picture of how He's kept you, you wouldn't have any problem rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. If you really saw what He's done, how many times His angels have bore you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. You have no idea how many times He's kept you. Now, you have some notion of that was a near miss or that thing happened. All of us have situations where something that threatened our lives. And Jose was in a terrible wreck driving a big rig. He was an over-the-road truck driver. He was in a terrible wreck, and it was supernatural that God preserved his life. So I know that. I mean, I'm just looking around. I'm sure Matt Wiley's had it because he has had so many things happen to him. So, you know, I myself was struck by lightning, and here I stand, pretty normal. And and all of us, there have been so many things, even before we came to know the Lord, if you know what I mean. Times He's kept us. He's kept us. I'm so thankful. I have great hope today because the one that's keeping me is pretty good at keeping me. I belong to God. I'm so thankful for that. I belong to Him. And whatever happens to me, now here, this is the hope. Whatever happens, God is keeping me. And even if my life ended at this moment, I'm in heaven. So He keeps me here And if I don't stay here, I'm in heaven. That's awesome. He's keeping me here. He's watching over me. He's protecting me. He's seeing about me. He's providing for me. And then I'm in heaven. Then I'm with Jesus forever. That's a really good reason to have hope tonight. You know, Matt and I were coming to church. I think it was Sunday morning. I don't know. We were riding down the road, and right on the bridge, on the I-20 bridge, there was a big bus that was just in front of us. And on the back of the bus, it said, "The best is yet to come." And, of course, we pulled up beside of it. It's a church bus. But it said, "The best is yet to come." Matt and I are high-fiving each other. We're going, "Yes, the best is yet to come." And you know what? I don't care what has happened in your life. Without a doubt, the best is yet to come. The best is still ahead. The best is still... You're going, "Well, how can it be? This is the mess I'm in, or this is what's happened, or I've had some pretty good days." Forget all that. The best is yet to come. Without any doubt, the best is yet to come. It is. The best is yet to come. I know for certain, because the best hasn't even come yet. Heaven, that's the best. But he said here that he's keeping us, and there's this thing here that he says, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I'm not even sure what that's about, but there's some kind of revealing coming up too. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I was just thinking, here I can have living hope because you know what? I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. No man can take me out of his hand. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Do you understand what position I'm in? I have nothing but hope. Nothing but hope. God, the creator of all things, is my very own Father. And as soon as I can lay this thing down, I'm going to forever be with him present, face to face. I'm already with him present. He's in me and I'm in him. But I mean, real deal, open-eyed, no veil thing. Good days are ahead, people. And if things aren't going so well right now, start over. Draw your line and start over. You may need to go to some people and say, "Well, I'm starting over. We're starting over. We're starting afresh here. You just thought we had two good marriages. Our third one is the best." We're going to get our legal pad out and design it. You can design your life. What do you want it to be? What do you want your family to be? Start afresh. Start anew. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen. We all stand.